And peace in the valley found. This is an odd combination, but we're looking forward to the exciting testimony. Representative Holder, perhaps you could start by explaining your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there is a technical amendment, A27, that at the time you have your quorum, I need adopted. But basically, the discussion tonight that I'll present will concentrate on pages 83 through 89 of the bill. Those are the areas of the bill that have the bonding and the revenue sources for that bonding.
That's page 83 through 89. That's where the bonding provisions are found?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Why don't you talk to us about the bonding provisions?
All right. Thank you. And Article 4, which is on page 85 and 86, contains the overview of the bonding proposal, and it contains two components. There is a component for bonding that is based on a restructuring of the tab fee, and then also another set of bonding that would kick in if the constitutional amendment put before the voters in November of 2006 for the 100% dedication of MVEST would pass.
Representative Holbrook, how would the MVEST dedication look different than it does now?
Representative Gorman, currently about 53% of MVEST is dedicated, about 30% to roads and 22% to transit. It would phase in over through 2012, and in our bill it would phase into a point where 70% of the revenues would go to roads and 30% to transit.
Members, we have a quorum presence. The chair will move House File 2461 and recommend approval and send it on to Representative Creasy's bill on taxes. Is that where you'd like this? Well, maybe not like it to go, but is that where it has to go next?
Representative Dorman, it's my understanding that it goes to taxes
okay,
next.
Okay, great, great. We have a quorum here. So you were saying it's going to go to 70% roads eventually and then 30% transit?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holberg, if we go to 30% transit, do you know, as far as state rankings, I think we're number 2 in the nation right now as far as the state contribution to transit. If we did that, would we surpass Baltimore, which is in the number 1 position, do you know?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of that figure, and I can't answer that question.
All right. Well, we'll find out before taxes. And do you allow another funding source at all for the folks in the metropolitan area to pay for some of their transit needs?
Mr. Chair, in my bill for the next biennium, we take a portion of the Livable Communities Fund from Metropolitan Council to put towards the funding of Metro Transit. But as members are aware, the committee budget that was approved on the House floor provided zero additional dollars, general fund dollars, for transit.
Perfect. Members, I think we've got a couple of amendments. I don't think they're in the packet, so we'll see if we can get those distributed. Representative Holbrook, perhaps you could start describing your amendment, and the chair will move that amendment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 827 amendment, for the most part, aligns the bonding amounts with the revenue amounts for the tab fee restructuring. Unfortunately, we got a run on the numbers from MnDOT that was an error, and our bill, as introduced, provided the revenue in the runs was higher than they should have been, and so we have to scale back the bonding to reflect the updated numbers with the new spreadsheet provided by MnDOT. And Mr. Chair, if I might, on the second page of the amendment, on the first page of the amendment, we also delete a bonding provision that was based on a constitutional question to raise the gas tax by 5 cents. That constitutional question was deleted in the Transportation Finance Committee, so that section of the bill is no longer needed.
Well, in its current form, there's no gas tax increase. You have bonding, but the bonding is paid for by the tab fee increase. Is that?
Mr. Chair, there are two schedules for bonding, one based on just the tab fee restructuring.
An A and B?
Mr. Chair, we haven't structured it in that manner, but the second bonding figures would kick in if the voters approved a constitutional dedication of 100% of MFS.
Mr. Chair, can we have a little bit of an understanding of where we're at in this bill, where the bond, why it's here, what pages we're on?
Sure. Representative Holberg, prior to you coming in the room, directed us to page, what did you say, 83?
Okay. Mr. Chair, 83 to 89.
83 to 89. Those are the bonding provisions as she's described it. The tax on tabs would increase to pay for the bonding, and the bonding would be one of two ways depending on the outcome of a constitutional question put before the voters to dedicate the motor vehicle excise tax to transit and roads. Is that about it, Representative Holberg?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holberg, the hole that will be created in the state's general fund, if the voters do that, do we know how we're going to fill that?
Mr. Chair, I do know that in my TALES budget, I carry $184 million for the first round of transfer in the next biennium. So to the degree that the legislature is able to account for that money in its TALES, it is done so in the targets that I've been given.
Representative Knobloch, may I ask a better question for you? The $184 million in TALES, are the TALES covered somewhere?
Mr. Chair, firstly, I should note that the TALES of the bill are the same as the governor's budget, for anyone who's interested in that. Secondly, I believe that the TALES would be covered by the expected growth in tax revenues for the state.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Holberg?
I've been around here 4 years and we've been hearing that. And so far we haven't got that far. But we'll have a discussion on that later on.
I got a feeling that's correct. Any members have any other questions about the A27 amendment? Seeing none, the chair would renew his motion that we adopt the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted. Representative Holberg, did we distribute the other one? We have them both. There is the A28 amendment, which is my amendment. The A28 amendment, I'm sorry to say that I have to come before the committee and slip it in here. I didn't think we were going to need to do it, so I didn't introduce a bill. But it turns out that there's been some farmers pulled over again in the last couple of weeks. Those radical guys moving from one field to the other. We'll have a piece of equipment. They'll swing out to avoid a mailbox or something and go over the center line. And the state patrol is pulling them over, and I think it's a $200 fine prior to the surcharge. The old surcharge. It'll be an extra $10, and hopefully they won't get a parking ticket while they're on the courthouse because common sense doesn't prevail, and I guess can't pick on public safety that much because they're just strictly enforcing the law. And so what this amendment would say is that would exempt, a farmer who's got his combine, he's going down a gravel road, he's got to pull out to avoid the mailbox and pull back in. That statute's been there for a long, long, long time. It's only seemingly in the last couple of years that it's been started to pull people over. So that's why there was no bill introduction. I thought we had kind of cured it by talking to folks at public safety, but apparently that didn't work very well, so maybe we'll try it this way. So with that, that is my amendment. I'd be happy to answer any questions that folks may have.
Mr. Chairman, I've been living in Minnesota for many, many years and been driving down the roads with farm equipment for many, many years.
Can you never have to get the left side of the road?
Well, they're wider to begin with. I mean, they're either in the ditch. Sometimes in some of the roads are in rural Minnesota, they're not even wide enough halfway for that equipment.
And Representative Solberg, common sense should prevail, but what they've been suggested is that you want to move your combine from one field to the next, and you've got to go down the road. Maybe there's a section or something that you could hire an escort.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we got a bill that we just passed that gives him an opportunity to get new license for an escort, but it's an $800 fee each year to get it.
Representative Demmer.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Representative Solberg, and in total disclosure, I'm with you. I needed this law many, many times, and I'm ashamed to say I've taken out a few mailboxes in my day by not going out far enough. So this is a common sense thing.
Seeing no additional question, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The second amendment is adopted. Representative Solberg, are on a roll. Representative Solberg.
Do you have any other amendments?
We have no additional amendments.
I would like to make an oral amendment, if I may, please.
Representative Solberg is going to offer an oral amendment. Representative Solberg, could you tell us the page?
Yeah, page 85.
Page 85
and 86.
Okay.
Let me express some concern. All you have to do is drive in rural Minnesota and some of the roads, and we know that we need to have a major transportation funding program. 2 years ago or 4 years ago, whatever it was, we borrowed a bunch of money, $400 million, and said we're going to pay for that by what was called at the time efficiencies in the transportation department. Well, I haven't seen any efficiencies next door. The people are still working there. But I have seen an awful lot of efficiencies in the maintenance department of District 1 and District 3 and everything else. And all you have to do is drive down Highway 65. My wife a few weeks ago was driving down Highway 65, a major road that goes to northern Minnesota, had the cruise control on, and it was rough enough that it knocked the cruise control off the car. That's the kind of roads we've got. Part of the reason we've got those kind of roads is because of lack of maintenance. They've taken $2 million out of Highway District 1, which is the Duluth District, to pay off these bonds. We know we've had the discussion in the last couple of years about closing the rest areas to save money. We're saving money to pay off bonds that we borrowed. Now, I suppose there's a need to have some bonding. I'm not necessarily against that. But if you're going to have bonding, you're going to have a ways to pay it. Under this, as I understand Article 4, within 10 years, 50% of our roadmap will be going to pay off these bonds that are sold. Now, I understand we need to have some road construction money. And we're all afraid to push a green button on a road gas tax. And so we're having all kinds of, we'll call it a fee or something else. I don't care what you call it. But we need to have some additional money in roads, period. And as the Hennepin County Commissioner said on radio when they talked about the twins were elected to make decisions, and sometimes those decisions aren't necessarily popular. But I'm ready to make a decision on a gas tax and have been for 10 years. I'm not ready to make a decision to borrow a bunch of money, so 10 years from now, half of our transportation money goes into paying interest off of a bunch of bonds. So I would like to move that we eliminate Article 4, because this is in the bonding committee, and then on page 7, line 13,
page 7?
7, line 13, or line, I guess it would be 14, line 13 and 14, to adjust the debt service accordingly. I don't have any idea what that debt service is, but I think that would make my amendment in order.
I think that's correct. I think before we vote on that, I think we'll call on Representative Oberg and Mr. Walz, because I think what you're saying is partially right. That sounds like the governor's plan, though, more than Representative Holberg's plan. I believe Representative Holberg, and for those of you who didn't see it in the legal ledger last week, I was called, I think, a renegade Republican, and I'm a piker compared to Representative Holberg. I just, Representative Riley and I proposed a tax increase. We got clobbered. Representative Holberg is better. She actually got a tax increase out of a House committee, and so, you know, she's my hero. She is, so she's got a tax increase here on the tabs that pays for the bonding. So, but let's let her and Mr. Walz describe how she does this, or how the bill does it.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, First of all, in our bill, we have a line item for an increase in maintenance each year of $8,625,000. So we have increased the maintenance portion of MnDOT's budget significantly, and that, of course, is not... I've got the spreadsheet here, and I didn't know that we'd be talking about that tonight. I don't know if you have copies of the spreadsheet as well. And I'll let Mr. Walls talk about the specific dollar figures relative to the funding of the bonding, but we took a much more conservative approach and used only new money, and in almost every year, except I think one, pay for that completely with new money. But Mr. Walls can talk about the percentage of total funds that actually go to this bonding proposal.
Mr. Walls, would you tell us how the repayment of these bonds would work?
Mr. Chair, if everyone has a copy of the one-page spreadsheet that's handed out, there's, I believe it's in the packets. There should be four different boxes there. The first one just basically shows what the constitutional amendment does for MVEST, the money collected for transportation and where it flows. The box below that is the same for registration fees. And the lower two boxes are the two different scenarios for bond authorizations. So the third box down shows a total debt issuance of $2.5 billion, excuse me. The estimated debt service over that period shown is $1.713 billion, but the total new trunk highway revenue is $2.047 billion. So in the final column in that third box shows the additional dollars created by the new revenue and distributed in the trunk highway fund over the debt service required. You can see in 2015 when the debt service peaks, it doesn't quite generate enough to meet the obligation, but there's plenty in the previous years. And so over this period from 2006 to 2017, the proposal, if the MVEST amendment passes, pays for the debt service as well as contributes $333 million additional dollars to the Trunk Highway Fund. The final box down below is the scenario without passage, and in that scenario, the estimated debt service is again below the new revenue created. So there is an additional amount of $45 million in that same period put into the Trunk Highway Fund, even under the more conservative scenario.
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Chair, I appreciate that, and I don't think I'm taking out your source of money because it's still a pay-as-you-go. What I'm trying to do is to do a pay-as-you-go type of scenario. I've not taken out the increase in the TAP, as though that may be popular to take that out as well. I don't own whatever Jesse Ventura owned. That I don't have to worry, whatever it was, Humvee or whatever it is. So I've not taken out your source of money. And what it does then is over the course of the 15 years, as I understand it, includes additional $2 billion that can be used for road construction. And I appreciate that. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm just saying we have a pay-as-you-go, and I'm avoiding the interest costs on those particular programs. So.
All right. Your members have additional comments, questions about Representative Solberg's oral amendment. Representative Colberg, did you want to comment on it? Or Representative Garofalo, who is new here, I believe, wants to speak.
Well, we should let the author of the omnibus bill make comments first, I believe.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, certainly my preference is that we would keep these modest bonding proposals in the bill. It allows for us to fund some projects that have larger price tags, if you will. It's pretty common across the country to use bonding for transportation infrastructure. But again, it's the will of the committee. It's my feeling that this bill will probably be totally rewritten on the House floor, and every one of these issues that is addressed in the various committees that it goes to will again come back to the House floor for a vote by all 134 members. So what happens today happens today. What happens tomorrow happens tomorrow. What happens Thursday or Friday happens. And eventually we'll get to the floor and we'll get to talk about it all over again. So
okay. There you go. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll echo Chair Holberg's comments on this. This is a second step in what will be a long journey. But I'd also like to speak against the amendment in the sense that it is true that we are adding additional debt service by borrowing the money, not going pay-as-you-go. However, there are savings in terms of not being subjected to the inflationary costs of delaying these projects. Sometimes, if you believe what you read in the financial markets, inflation's coming back in a pretty big way. And I think there is an opportunity cost there for delaying the timing of these projects, and I like the author, but I disagree with the amendment. Thank you.
I'm glad someone likes me. I don't know which author you're talking about, the author of the amendment or the author. Although I like both of them.
Yes.
Mr. Chair and members, in all seriousness, we've always had a pay-as-you-go standard in road constructions, and I know there's a big project. You know, the last time we went down this road for the big projects, there was supposed to be $400 million, and we got a $400 million advance, and it was from the federal government. I don't know what we do 4 years from now, because that money's going to be dried up, unless we get an advance from the advance. We had a commitment that we were going to have big projects that half in Minnesota and half in the metropolitan, half in rural Minnesota and half in the metropolitan area. And it was kind of interesting. The Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner of Transportation was up fishing at the opening of fishing season. And as they were announcing, and in the next, I think, to 2007, in the southwest part of metropolitan area, where they had one time proposed to build a twin stadium. There's a commitment, I think, of $517 million in road construction in that area, the next 2007. It's been advanced by this administration. I'm sure they need it. They're not complaining about it. I know they got traffic jams. And the announcement by the commissioner at the opening of fishing season was that there was a bridge being built on Highway 11 in northern Minnesota. And wasn't that nice that we were getting a bridge at the same time? So, you know, I still think we need that pay as you go. I applaud the author very much for having the courage to increase that funding a little bit. It's not as bad as the governor's proposal, I would admit that. But I want to save some interest. I want to try to get things back. I think this will help do it.
Representative Solberg, are you implying that Hazleton National Golf Course isn't in the greater Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman, you know my dad always said, when I called a stump farmer up in northern Minnesota, he plowed between the stumps to try to grow a crop. So we're just modest people. They always said you never want to complain about someone else's making money or someone else's success, as long as they do it honestly. But you just want to try to be successful yourself, because if you do it honestly. And I know that the southwest part of the metropolitan area maybe deserve it. I could care less. If my old committee administrator wants to come to work, that's fine. But when an agreement was made that half of it was supposed to be in the metropolitan area and half in the rural area, and all of a sudden, in order to have that half, we counted that part of the metropolitan area in rural Minnesota, it wasn't fair. I've never complained about a road construction project anyplace. I just want to have a road construction project in my district. Heck, we had a groundbreaking ceremony when they filled a pothole. It's all that.
Mr. Chairman.
They got big ones.
Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Solberg. While 212 is not in my district, it certainly impacts my district, which is a rural area in Sibley County. Those folks are very excited about the activities in the Southwest Metro, because the activities there also trickle over into the non-metro or the greater Minnesota area that I represent, and they're thrilled with it. So I think we have to be careful when we use very strict lines defining metro and non-metro, because there's a lot of trickle-over effect. When I have a landscaper in my area who's sitting in traffic in the metro area, it certainly affects rural Minnesota. So I think there's some trickle-over there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've never complained about it. All I complained about was that there was a huge road construction project there, and we got a bridge. And then when I get home, my wife gives me hell, literally, for having that rough of a road. Says, why don't you do something about it?
And Representative Broad, you're right. If somebody comes from Greater Minnesota, we have an interest in seeing that the transportation needs all over the state are met. But
you know, you do listen closely to folks, and I don't recall when he did it if you're in the legislature yet, but remember the guy sat next to me on the floor, named McQueasley, kept telling me how we didn't need to write in statute that it was going to be 50-50, because don't worry, you know, our friends over there are going to take care of us, and they did. And so it was a good lesson for folks to say, hmm. So not to say that people from rural Minnesota don't benefit from it. It just isn't, at least from my view, how it was packaged, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know, as we mentioned before, this bill's going to have a long journey, and you know, what happens here will be changed. But when I hear the complaints of my friends from northern Minnesota regarding not enough money being spent on transportation, I'm reminded of an article I read regarding the federal earmarks for transportation projects and the amount of money that Congressman Oberstar delivers for his congressional district. And that's certainly a conversation for another time, but I think the most objective measurement of transportation dollar allocation is, I think it's pretty generous to northern Minnesota. My understanding is that there's so much federal money coming in that, in fact, we don't have the state money to provide the matches for all the projects. But I understand that's a conversation for a different time, and
I think we turned back $100 and some million because we didn't have a local match for the federal money. So Congressman Oberstar is doing his job without any questions, so our other representatives, no matter where they're at. But we also have to have the local match.
Got to come up with the money. Absolutely. Representative Mahoney.
My concern is addressed.
Okay. Seeing no other comments, Representative Solberg would renew his motion to delete the bonding portion of the bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
I believe the noes prevail in this case, and the amendment is not adopted. I don't have my hearing aids in, but that's kind of what's on. Okay.
But you have the eyes, so you can count.
With that, members, anyone else have any other amendments, suggestions, comments on the bill? Seeing none, the chair renews his motion that House File 2461 be recommended to pass and move on to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Well, the ayes have it there. It was a half a no or something. Yeah. The ayes have it. The amendment or the.
Mr. Chair, I know that we have passed the bill, but I wonder if I could ask the question, to one other question, and that is, with these bonding proposals, does any of that money in the bonding go to the counties?
Representative Holberg, the bonding money, does any of it go to the county, or where does it go?
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, there is no bonding contemplated for the money that goes into the CASAR MSA formulas, but they are taken care of according to statute and receiving a percentage of the funds of both the TAB fee and the invest transfer.
But they don't get any of the bonding money. That's strictly holders.
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, no, the bonding money actually just went to the funds that go to the state, but certainly there's nothing that precludes counties from doing their own bonding program based on their revenues if that's something that they wanted to do.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. The next bill on the agenda is going to be House File 2454, Representative Ruka Vina's bill. However, prior to doing that, Representative Pawlowski has carefully reviewed the minutes of the meeting from April 12th and moves adoption of those minutes. Anyone have any questions, additions, subtractions, recommendations? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The minutes are adopted. Very good. Representative Ruka Vina, welcome to your own, welcome to the committee. Tell us about House File 2454 and why are we here? Whose fault is this?
Mr. Chair, it's a good question. It's the Senate's fault or your fault, whichever way you look at it, because you accepted the Senate language, and the Senate language was wrong. The House language in the bill was correct. The House language said that this site was at Highway 53 along the Mesaba Trail corridor. The Senate language had incorrect information, and I was told by Mr. Marks and a lot of attorneys around here and Senate council that this bill had to originate in the House like a typical bonding just to change the state, and that it had to get 60% vote like a bonding bill to change, just to change the number of the highways. So that's why I'm here, Mr. Chair.
There you have it. Does anyone have any questions for Representative Rukavina? I apologize for trusting those darn senators. Representative Howes has an inquiry. Representative Howes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, I would just say let's pull this bill out of here and go home.
We're happy to do that.
Can we move the bill?
Representative Solberg, would you like to do that? Yes, it does.
Okay.
Representative Solberg moves House File 2454. You recommended the pass and move to the House floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The bill.
Thank you, members.
And recommend. Oh, let's hang around a while.